5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Joining me now, I always like this when we can start an hour off the right way. And that is when we can bring on the voice of the UNC Bears, Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I need you to speak a win into existence tonight.
Okay.
Can you do that? Have you ever had listeners text you like back with Nuggets and Rockies game and be like, man, just come on, speak it into existence. Make it happen.
I've had a few people say, can you talk to the team?
Yeah, can you?
Can you get them to play a little better? No, I don't think I've... the answer to that question is no, I've never had that, nor do I have that kind of power. You might think I have that power.
I do.
But actually, I don't, Brady.
I think I tweeted it a couple of weeks ago. I said, Jerry, speak it into existence already. We're down five. Enough screwing around, man.
When I play God, things don't work out very well. They don't work out very well at all.
All right, so I was talking to Coach Smiley, and so many interesting players on this roster.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to, because we've grown up with this guy, Bodie Hume. He was our Preps Player of the Year a few years ago out of Sterling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We loved watching this kid play. I mean, he was a quarterback for Sterling. He was a Player of the Week for quarterback a lot. So I love following him. And I really feel like and I know Bodie and Coach don't like to put a number to this, but when he scores 20-plus, I don't see a lot of teams beating the Bears.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'd love to see that number, by the way, in his career. His 4 years here. Yeah, it's just he's a little bit of a head-scratcher, isn't he, Brady? Because he's so incredibly athletic. And he's not a great shooter, but he's a streaky shooter. He can really get going. And when he hits a couple shots early on, it seems to really carry him mentally. But I think when things don't go his way, hangs his head a little bit. I don't know if it's intentional. It's almost probably subconscious. But I think he feels like he's not involved. He doesn't get going early, not involved in the offense. So doesn't take shots, doesn't try to do other things. But, I think you're right. When he is playing well, this team seems to play really well. When he's not, they seem to be on the downside.
Where are you on this team, Jerry? Of course, this being, it seems like we've been hanging out for years now, but this is your first year still.
Yeah.
I mean, you've known this team, you've covered this team, you've just done such a great job with the coverage. But what are your thoughts on this team as you're busting in and learning more and more about them every single game?
Haven't seen Southern Utah play yet, Brady, but I think they're as talented as any team in the league. I really believe that. They aren't deep, but 1 through 5, 1 through 6, I think they're as good as anybody physically in the Big Sky. So that gives them a chance to win a regular season title and a conference tournament title. They've got 4 losses now, so the conference championship is probably a little out of reach, but certainly doable yet. But they're the kind of team that's dangerous when they start playing well together. And I asked Coach Smiley before the game on Saturday, that afternoon game, I said, what's the key? Because I rarely ask a coach, hey, what are the keys? Because I just think it's kind of a silly question sometimes. It's great for color commentators, but for coaches, like, well, we got to beat them, sort of thing. But Steve really opened up. He said, we have to, Jerry, play together. We have to connect with each other, and we've got to play as a unit, and we've got to communicate more and either win as a team or lose as a team and not have 5 guys going 5 different directions. I thought that was a great point. And I think to dig into that, it is, we're really talented, but we still have to play together to win. And when they do that, like they did in the second half on Saturday, they're just really good, Brady. They're a really good Division I AA team that has a chance to win the tournament and go the big dance, in my mind.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's spot on, because you can go into Southern Utah and win that game.
Yeah.
You beat an Eastern Washington game. You take CSU, you give CSU darn near one of the best games that they've faced. And I know that was earlier in the year, but the Bears were up by like 13 with 5 minutes left or so. So you have all of these great situations where you've looked at and said, man, this team could beat anybody. And then you have your Portland States and your Sac States where, they just kind of, as you said, they're not clicking. I think Smiley had mentioned that too. He's like, even in our wins, it's typically 1 or 2 guys that are rolling. And he said, maybe that's common, but I feel like if we can get 3 or 4 guys that are rolling in those high points, then we're going to be really tough to beat.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think he's spot on with that one. And I think in a team like this, and again, it's not a conscious decision, I don't think at all, Brady. I think it's more like, okay, that's just the way the game goes. But I think this team from 1 through 6 is so talented that they feel like, hey, you know what, if it's not my night, then Dalen's going to take over. Or if Dalen's not Dalen's night, then Bodie will take over. Matt Johnson can get us going something instead of saying, all right, we got to stay together as a team and play as one unit rather than relying on each other to have a big night. And with that talent level, you can get away with one or two guys having big nights and three or four guys not having them, still win a game because you're that talented. But when all everybody's clicking and they're all on the same page, it's a pretty beautiful team to watch.
So we know Dalen Kuntz. I mean, I joked with Coach. I was like, hey, I just know he's going to be in the 20s. You know, yeah. At the end of the game, no matter how good of a game or bad of a game he's had, this guy's good enough where he's just going to end up in the 20s, mm-hmm. probably. Do you think that because of that, okay, Dalen's going to do his thing. Do you think that this team will kind of go the way of Bodie Hume? If he continues to struggle and just kind of be down on himself, maybe they are, you know, they maybe get passed around. But if Bodie can be the guy, I mean, last year in the tournament, he had two 30-point games in a row.
Yeah.
They lose the second one, but is that kind of what you're thinking, or is it more complex than that?
I think there's a little more to it than that, but I think you make a good point. And when Bodie's not going well, then I think the team thinks, all right, maybe he's, you know, our best player, one of our best players, not going well. Man, it's just not our night tonight. And you can't take that approach. You have to take the approach that, you know what, I got to pick this guy up because he's not having a good night. And when you start doing that, and you know, I think Corey Jankuc falls in that category as well. He's not getting the ball much. He's not scoring much at all. When early in the year, he had some pretty good games offensively. But I think when you have that kind of night, you just have to keep playing hard all the time. And I think you're right. You make a good point about Dalen Kuntz as well. No matter what kind of night, what kind of defense they throw at him, he's going to get his 20 to 30 points. It's like when Michael Jordan was playing, and I was doing the Nuggets, Brady, I told somebody, and I was joking about it, but I said, I could coach in the NBA because right now Michael Jordan's averaging 31 points a game, and if I was coaching the Bulls, he would still average 31 points a game.
That's actually a great point, man. Those were great days, by the way. I mean, I remember because you were doing games when it was McNichols Arena, right?
Yeah, first couple of years,
and I remember going to McNichols, and I was a Nuggets fan, but I won't kid you. When my dad said, "Hey, choose the games we're going to go to." Yeah, you're choosing the Michael Jordan
games.
Well,
yeah, you got to, don't you?
And I remember back in the day, you'd walk around McNichols to the little kiosks with all, because I always loved to get something. I had to have something. I was spoiled. But there was more Bulls stuff at McNichols than there were Nuggets stuff. Not the case now, but those were crazy times where fans would come to see Michael Jordan play. Not LaPhonso Ellis, which I loved LaPhonso, by the way.
No, exactly right. And Vic Lombardi, who, you know, a longtime TV guy in Denver, is a basketball guy. Used to still loves the NBA. But in the really rough days of the Nuggets where they weren't winning at all and Michael Jordan was coming to town, we would have the TV folks come out for two games. When the Lakers came to town, the Bulls came to town, and it made us so mad. It's like, where were you the other 39 games?
Right.
But Vic Lombardi would always show up. That's why I love Vic. Because he would show up even when we lost 10 games in a row. But no, you're right. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bulls and Michael Jordan were a phenomenon, and everybody was in three. He was the most popular person in the world, not just sports figure, but for about a stretch of 10 years, they say the most recognizable person in the world. And when he comes to town, you want to go see that greatness, the greatest player that ever played. But once the Nuggets got a little better, you know, they started playing at the Pepsi Center after that and got a little better, and you know, the Carmelo Anthony days and Western Conference championship and all that kind of stuff, that changed a lot. You didn't see those visiting jerseys as much. You still saw some Bulls jerseys and some Lakers jerseys, but my policy was if I saw somebody, I would go up to them and just rip it off them.
I think that's a good
policy. I got in trouble a couple times doing that, but
I think that's a good policy.
It was important.
In my defense, I never wore Bulls stuff. I would buy stuff later for the office.
See, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't wear it. I was too embarrassed to be like, I can't wear Bulls stuff here. This is Denver.
It would be that way, too. It's like wearing a Broncos jersey at a Chiefs game in Kansas City.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. Yeah. That's a scary time.
Unless you want to get hurt.
What was it like for you in those seasons? I mean, again, as a fan, we all can watch and cry and watch them win 11 games. But you're there, and you're putting in the work, and you're grinding on this team, and you're learning about this team. What was that like?
You know, it wasn't, and I'm not trying to downplay this, it wasn't as difficult as you think it was, because I felt like my job, Brady, was just to call the play-by-play. I didn't have to be a sports columnist. I didn't have to editorialize. I didn't have to rip and tell people they suck. All you got to do is look at their record. We're 11-71. Of course we suck. I don't have to say that every night. So I would just concentrate on calling the action. And you know, in a basketball game, even when you're 11-71, you're going to see some fun things. You're going to have some good games and some competitive games. lives. And we won two games in the road that year, 2-39.
Wow.
Which I think is the worst road record ever in the NBA. I think it might be matched by with somebody else. But I just, that's what I thought about. And it goes, and I'm getting a little bit weird here, but before I got in the NBA, I wanted so badly to broadcast games in the NBA. That was my goal, my dream. And I always told myself, if I got that NBA job, I would never take a night off. I would just be as prepared as I could, use the energy I have, and just no matter what kind of team and what kind of game, I was going to do my best on the air. And I stayed true to that, I think, for the most part. And that really paid off when your team was 11-71.
Yeah. So what year was that? Was that the year before Melo then?
Or was that the year or two before him? That was Bill Hanslick's year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
97, 98, okay. I want to say. All right. Somewhere in there, yeah.
Boy, what's the team like in that case? Yeah, like you're interviewing guys, you know, you're interviewing players, you're interviewing coaches. That part would be interesting because, you know, as you said, you're coming up with keys to the game or something. And it's like, what is it? Don't lose by 32?
You know, can we keep this under 30? Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky because in those days, I didn't have to do a player interview. I just had to do the coach and somebody else to do the player if they did one at all. And Bill Hanslick was a coach, and he was always very upbeat, and he was very cooperative.
Seems like such a great guy.
Great guy, and he was getting beat up, and he never showed it. But he always was, let's go, man. Let's have a good pregame show. And, you know, our team might not be any good, but we're going to, you know, the radio, whatever that might be. So that wasn't that difficult. What you did is you just thought, all right, how are we going to pull this upset tonight? You know, we pulled 11 upsets that year, two of them on the road. And one of the games, by the way, Brady, I was just thinking about this not too long ago, was we won at Washington against the Washington Bullets back then before the Wizards. We won when Anthony Goldwire, I don't remember that name or not. He was a point guard.
Golly, I'm struggling with that name.
He made a three-pointer from the corner right before the buzzer. I think there was about 10 seconds left, that hit the side of the glass and then went in. I'm not joking.
Wow, I'm trying to picture that
was,
how that
That
went.
Was a game winner, and that was one of our road wins. It skimmed the side of the glass and then from the corner and then went right through for a swish.
Somebody's getting an H on that one if he calls, you know, if you're playing horse with that guy. What was your last year doing Nuggets games, Jerry?
The 2009-2010 season.
So what year was that?
That was a great year.
That was the big year.
Yeah.
That was the big year.
Yeah, Chauncey and the gang. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was really fun.
I mean, the Nuggets made such a run in those playoffs, too. I mean, that was when Chris Paul was still with the Hornets, and they run right through those teams.
Yeah.
And then you have the inbounding that or lack thereof for the Nuggets against the Lakers. And I mean, the Nuggets were right there with the Lakers.
Yeah, they were. I think there was good or better than that Lakers team. And you wish you had a couple of those games back. And that's the one you're referencing. I wish we could add back because that was a winnable game. Mm. And then you go to the NBA championship, you know, and you take your chances there in seven games.
Some people say that this team now, this Nuggets team, if they can get Murray and Porter, you know, you stack them up with that team or even Alex English's Western Conference team back in the 80s, right? Where do you line those up? And again, I think we all agree Joker's the best. Mm-hmm. I think you've talked to us about that. But when you just say team for team, if you want to say Murray's healthy and Porter's healthy, put those guys here, maybe bubble team, and then that year with the when they lost to the Lakers, and then go back to English's Western Conference team. What's the best team?
Yeah, you know, that team in 2009-2010 was really talented. I think they probably had, from top to bottom on that roster, a little more talent than that the Nuggets have right now. But they didn't have a big three like that, like as talented as Michael Porter Jr. and Murray and Jokic. I mean, they had close to an MVP. Carmelo Anthony was in the top, you know, 15 voting, I think, a couple of years. But I would say that top to bottom was a little more talented back then. But this team right now, the Nuggets with those guys, wow, that's you to get three guys like that in one team just doesn't happen that often in the NBA. And so I would probably say if today's team is healthy, it's healthy and the roster is full, it's probably a better team than what I saw.
Jerry, if Nikola Jokic wins a ring, just one ring, does he, I mean, again, we're forecasting a little bit here, but when it's all said and done, he gets one ring. Is he a top 10 player of all time?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think the numbers will bear that out, Brady. Depends on how long he wants to play. If he's got some good longevity and he plays a long time, the numbers will add up, and they've added up really quickly, really quickly. Just start looking at his, and I did this not too long ago, his numbers in Nuggets history, and he's, what, in his eighth year, ninth year, something like that?
Yeah.
He's right there at the top, if not at the top, in almost every offensive category with guys that were on that team for 15 years that, you know, he's in a third of the time, he's got better numbers than those guys. So the numbers are going to show that he is going to be one of the great players of all time. If he plays 15 years, you know, 15 to 20 years, like he's capable of doing, depending on, you know, the contract situation, his longevity and his goals, he's going to rack up some incredible numbers, and then if you give him a championship on top of that, yeah, I put him in the top 10.
It just looks so easy for him.
Yeah, doesn't it, though?
I mean, it's crazy.
I said that this morning, yeah.
I mean, you look at, okay, he's a seven-footer, and sometimes they get, sometimes I think we're too hard on seven-footers, thinking, okay, when you're close to the basket, you should make, but the way he plays, I mean, he's not Shaq. He's not there getting slam dunks.
Right.
These are touch shots that he's constantly making that I'm always floored by how he makes these shots. And again, he's got the three-point game. His passing is unreal. It's getting better. His passing is getting so good that it's making the secondary pass even better, which is crazy. And you know, what do they call that in hockey? The second, I don't know what it, the assist to the assist.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like you said, that's the exciting part to me. He just keeps getting better. I mean, every time I – not just year to year for me. It's almost game to game. I saw him on – saw him yesterday afternoon and watched that whole game. And some of the stuff he was doing, just uncanny. And then you look at the body language of the defenders, and they're like, how did he do that? What just happened right there? And these guys are like, wait a minute. I was playing him on this side, and all of a sudden he's open. And then he finds the open guy. And then the next thing I know, he's ball faking and driving by me. He's a couple steps ahead of everybody else on that other team, and they're just like coaches don't know what to do. I got buddies that are still in the NBA coaching, and I talk to them all the time. I was like, what do you do with Jokic? Like, you just hope he has a bad game. You just hope he has a bad game because you're not going to beat him. If you double team him, find the open guy. If you don't, he'll take the ball the hole and score. It's just that simple, and he makes it that easy.
It's so amazing. One of the things I think is crazy is his pump fake at the 3-point line.
Yeah.
It's the slowest pump fake in the history of the world.
But it works.
But it works every time. And it's like you think – you actually think he's going to shoot it. And then it's this long little – and then next thing you know, he's by the guy. Yeah. He gets fouled and the ball goes in. I look at LeBron James. It's obvious what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's not taking away any of the athleticism. I know what he's doing. He's going to barrel in. He's either going to go for a layup, a reverse layup, or a tomahawk dunk. And it's going to look awesome. It's going to be a poster.
Yeah.
Joker's harder to predict because one second he's up in the air going for a layup, and next second the ball's behind him in a wide-open three-point shooter's hand.
Yeah, and you watch him play like that, and you wonder, don't you, what's going through his head? Is he thinking, all right, I ball faked last time, so this time I'm going – I don't think he does anything. I think it's all so
instinctual.
It's a feel for the game. It absolutely is. And about the time you think he's going to do one thing, he does another thing, and that's what makes him so incredibly impressive to me is that you never know what you're going to see from him from one play to the next.
Last one for you, Jerry, on Joker. I'm trying to get my blog together here. JD's been making me work a lot more hours, so I'm trying to get it done. But I want
to
put
a slave driver.
He really is, man. Yeah. I want to put something together because last year,
what do you call him, Jay Dean?
We changed the name every other day. Jimmy Dean was the new one today. JD. I try to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
But I said something last year that got a lot of flack. I tweeted it out during the playoffs, I believe, and I said, I think that Nikola Jokic, it might be far-fetched, has a chance to be considered Denver's greatest athlete, Denver's greatest son, so to speak. And I was met with a lot of flack because of John Elway.
Yeah.
Nobody's passing John Elway. But I'm telling you, Jerry, the attitude that he has, the likability that he has, and I know he's not out in the public very often. He doesn't tweet and do any of that stuff. But if he can add a couple of championships to a Nuggets organization that's never seen any of those, and then win some more MVPs, I don't think it's that out of the question that he could be the GOAT when it comes to Colorado sports.
Well, when you put it that way, I think it's really hard to refute. All right, he has a chance to be. There's no question about that, right? And that's what your tweet was, if I remember
it.
You know? So it was, he's got, keeps going, he's got a chance to be. Of course he does, And it's going to take a couple championships probably, maybe one more than Elway won, who knows that. But I don't know if John Elway's going to be considered one of the top 10 NFL players of all time. And Jokic
that's
has
a great
chance
point.
To do that.
That's a great point.
I think when he's done with his career, the numbers will bear out that he's probably on the top five, and I really believe that. So, and if you're in the top five, then, you got to be – if you're the top five in NBA history, you certainly have a great chance of being the GOAT in Denver. So, no, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all.
Jerry, you want to stick around for another segment? Do you have time?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I know you got a game tonight to gear up for.
Well,
but,
shoot, you know what? We're not on the air till 7:30.
JD's going to get mad at me again. Look what I did. Look what time it is. It's 125. That's not my fault. That's Jerry's fault.
My bad.
Okay? 125 the time. We blew the clock again for the 30th time in a row since J-Dean has taken over, I think. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 30 minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining us in studio for a doubleheader, we got a doubleheader tonight for basketball. We're doing a doubleheader as far as segments go with Jerry Schimmel. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, host of Amazing Americans, filled in for Tanner Schwinn on NoCo Now today.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you talk about the cattle market at all? Or?
No, we did a little bit, yeah, but not a whole lot because Tanner didn't want me, you know.
Stepping on his.
Yeah, yep, stealing his thunder and all that stuff.
So. That is his territory.
I stayed away from cattle as best I could.
Trust me, I could talk cattle just as much as the next guy.
Yeah,
but
I know.
No.
Grew up on the farm.
Well,
like that.
I try to forget about it. I like eating cattle, for sure. I just don't know anything about them anymore. I think these stories are so interesting. You and I, thankfully, you saw in the goodness in your heart to invite me to lunch with you and George Carl.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago. At the GOAT. Great sponsor of this program. And it's George Carl approved, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love listening to his stories. He's got so many unique stories about players that, you know, I kind of grew up following, and, you know, also just hearing about his philosophy now. And I asked him, I said, hey, how do you think you do with Nikola Jokic? Or maybe you asked him that question. And his answer was like, you know, I'd probably let him do more. He'd probably be doing even more than what he was doing. And I don't think he was knocking Malone in any way.
No.
He's essentially saying, you know, I'm going to let that guy just maybe be who he is now, because like you said, Joker has changed even in his MVP season to now.
Yeah, and I remember that because George's like, you know, I don't want to tinker too much, but there are some things that I would do that for him that would maybe bring his talent out a little bit more, which is almost shocking that he has more to give there than what we've seen so far. But yeah, I when that question was asked, I could smell the wood burning in George's eyes. I could just like, oh man, I've thought about this one a lot. I would love to have a player like that. So. Yeah, and he and I were talking after that, I think, too, Brady, and like it was when DeMarcus Cousins was signed by the team, and he had him in Sacramento, and they butted heads a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, George had DeMarcus Cousins batting heads like that, and then he didn't get Nikola Jokic in Denver. So he got the one he didn't want and didn't get the one that he wanted.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because I've read his book, and we were talking about some of the players that he dealt with. Joker is a coach's dream.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a great player. And I'm not saying Malone didn't have a huge hand in helping bring out that MVP caliber guy. There's no doubt about it. But you hear George Carl's stories. It's like he's telling us he's sitting there doing an interview. And it might have been with you. And next thing you know, you get a knock on the door and they say, hey, we just traded for Allen Iverson. And he goes, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
And the management at the time says, just coach him up, George, coach him up.
Yeah.
And it's Iverson again, Iverson pound for pound, one of the greatest basketball players, but not necessarily one of the easiest players to coach in the world.
No, not at all. And I just remembered, Brady, I got to get going here in about 2 minutes to do another interview, but that's an interesting story because I was there. Assistant general manager came in and said, hey, we made the trade. And it's like, George's like, wow. And he says, just go coach him up, George. But we had Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony, Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, and somebody else on that team. We had some.
Was the Birdman still there at that point?
I think he might have been. And I wasn't thinking about him. There was somebody else there, too, that I can't remember that wasn't easy to coach. So George had his hands full in that one. And that's why I think George is just a fantastic coach, because he has won with teams with no talent, and he's won with teams that have all kinds of talent that he had to coach up, like you said.
Yeah, Jerry, we'll let you slide, man. Okay. I know you're a popular guy.
Oh, yeah, right, Brady.
Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UN. UNC Bears tonight. They go at it. They need to beat Northern Arizona so badly. And I think it's going to be a big night. I think Bode Hume's going to go off tonight. That's my prediction. 34 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break, and let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, joining us just moments ago. Great to talk to him. He's also the host of Amazing Americans. We play that show on Saturday and Sunday mornings. It is a fantastic program, and he's done wonderful. And tell you what, KFKA listeners, we're honored to have him be a part of our crew off and on, you know, doing the Bears games, jumping on, doing shows, doing the coaches show, which is live from the GOAT tomorrow night. Shout out to Rev Chiropractic. I was over there this morning. That's what we're doing. We're doing shout outs now. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. Now engaged, too. So it's going to be this family owned and operated chiropractic facility. It is a great group of people that run the show over there. And, you know, I've noticed it. My wife looked at me that she's like, it seems like you're standing a little bit taller. Well, my back is feeling better. I'm not slouched in different ways. And again, that's just a little byproduct. The main byproduct is no pain for me. I mean, it was so irritating. Driving in my car, I would just be feeling the pain in my back, and it would make me grumpy and in bad mood. Couldn't do the things I wanted to do. And I even was like lifting up my kid onto my shoulders was an issue. And that was a non-starter for me. Said, I got to be able to throw my kid around. I don't care how big he gets. I got to be able to do it. Rev Chiropractic helped me out. They are located off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. And I'm telling you, if you're hurting, if you've been hurting, you're tired of it, whether that's your back, you know, your neck, your shoulders, your legs even, talk to my friends first. See what they have to say. You might be very, very surprised and very happy that you listened. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. You had the crew in town on Friday. Nathaniel Hackett and his new offensive coordinator, Justin Outen, were out at the Broncos or the Nuggets game. And it was fun, wasn't it? I mean, he's out there banging on the drum, having fun with the fans. That is cross promotion. And I'm telling you, this guy is fun. And if he can make it work, he has such a unique background. He's a football background. He's a football family. But he wanted to be like a scientist, and then he wanted to be like a hip-hop dancer. And all. Like, he's got such a versatile background that he does make me just really, really want to root for this guy. I have not been this excited about a head coach. I was very excited when the Broncos hired Gary Kubiak. That was like, all right, we're bringing all the legends back here. You got Elway running the show. They got Manning to come over. And already been tearing it up. Now you're going to bring Gary Kubiak over, and you're just getting the band back together. It was a cool hire. I wasn't excited about Vance Joseph. I wasn't necessarily like, this isn't going to work out. It just wasn't a big, exciting type move because I know Kyle Shanahan was the name I'd wanted. Vic Fangio, as you know, on this program, you've heard me a million times say the opposite of excitement. I thought it was a terrible hire, and I was 100% right on that. You're welcome. And it was just, it couldn't have worked out to me any worse. This move is different than all of them. It's a move kind of with the times as well. It's an offensive-minded guy that is exciting, that is going to go out and bang drums and have fun. And again, Vic Fangio went to Nuggets games. He liked to support Nuggets games. He was a Nuggets fan. But there is something about engaging the fan base that buys you time, too. And I think that's important. Buying you time is a big thing. Steve Addazio with CSU could have bought another year of time had he played the game a little bit better. Not saying he needed to go out and bang the drum at Moby Arena and do crazy things all the time. But, you know, he tried to do that singing thing, which was good. I liked it. You know, where they said the feeling of Colorado kind of way or whatever it was. That was kind of it. And then as the losses poured on, he got more defensive. And you know, again, I think that same with Ed McCaffrey. We're talking about all that stuff, which I kind of feel like is blowing over. as long as you just don't do the wrong things, you're going to buy yourself some time to really try to grow this thing where maybe you can outlast a bad season or two, dare I say even three. The expectations are going to be high for the Broncos. But when you become a fan favorite, you do change things a little bit. I'm not saying Broncos country is going to be okay not making the playoffs next year. I think you're expecting that. And if you don't make it, you're going to be upset. It's not going to be Hackett's job on the line. But I also think it's going to be easier to take if he doesn't just make terrible decisions, knows clock management, and also is engaging with the community, is talking to the fans and media, you know, in a certain way. I think you can win over the media. And when you win over the media, you do win over the fan base. Not everybody, but that is kind of how this game goes sometimes. I say this at college all the time. College coaches, you are not just head coaches for your team. You are marketing, your general managers, your salesmen, your coaches, your teachers, your adult supervision influences, all those things. You're not just a coach of football. So getting into this gig thinking you're just coaching X's and O's, well, then go be a coordinator. Go be a positions coach, because that's not what this gig entails. Being a head coach at the college and pro level is a hell of a lot more. And I know it's a good PR move, whatever, but it's also Hackett and Alton could have just sat in the stands and waved at the camera and then been like, leave me alone, back to my beer. Instead, they're having fun, man. They're making it a day. And the crowd is engaged. So far, you get into that stage, and I know that that's not the end-all be-all. It's going to be about the games. But this is starting off on the 100% right foot. I don't think you could be starting off on a better foot at this stage. Now, bringing in a couple of different guys. We talked about Alton, Butch Berry, the O-line coach, Clint Kubiak, the quarterback coach. I saw the odds of Aaron Rodgers, you know, are increasing by the day, too, that he's going to come to Denver. And I just keep going back to it. I mean, is this going to be a case where maybe the Broncos do take a Malik Willis with that ninth pick? And they put him up against Drew Locke in camp. And maybe Drew Locke gets that one final year and does like a Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I know, man. I'm just telling you. He's the only quarterback that's on their roster right now. And why? I get that Nathaniel Hackett's great, but the Packers have already doubled down again today. They doubled down again, saying they are in this together to figure out how to keep Rodgers. So they're going to be doing what they take on that end. Plus, you have the AFC West, the AFC in general. Place is scary. I mean, don't you want to see if you can get your name up? Because, like, is Aaron Rodgers going to go down as one of the greatest of all time? Maybe, but if he has another Super Bowl, that becomes an even more obvious discussion. And how easy is it going to be to win another Super Bowl when you got to go through the AFC? I'm not saying that if Rodgers came to be a Bronco, that the Packers would be worse than the Chiefs. Or the Packers. The Broncos would be worse than the Chiefs. The Broncos might be better, but the odds decrease of being better than all of those teams. You got to get past the Chiefs twice. You got to get past the Chargers twice. Derek Carr and company, you got to get past him, and then you got Herbert. Oh, and then if you can win your division, you get into the playoffs, you're still going to have Josh Allen's hanging out somewhere. You're going to have Joe Burrow hanging out somewhere. You might even have to face Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert again somewhere down the line. And it is about quarterback play right now. The Super Bowl might very well come down to defense. That might be the case. But what we were seeing in these playoffs was quarterbacks shining for the most part. Burrow does not have an offensive line. It's like me and Jadeen blocking for him, man. He has no prayer. So he just takes off and makes plays. That's what's going to happen. And the Broncos defense, maybe it doesn't take a huge step back, but it's going to take a step back. Vic Fangio was a defensive genius, and now you don't have that guy on your side. I just don't see it happening. I've said it from day one. 48 minutes after the hour, Bossier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Their website is mosierfuneralservice.com. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. It's an awesome gift. We're going to take a short break. Let's get to what's on TV tonight. When we come back, it's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Okay, this is when you know you're in 2022. I have some breaking news that isn't really news, but it's kind of news, and it might mean news down the road, but it's not news right now, but it's kind of news, and it feels like it could very well be news. Kyler Murray unfollows Cardinals on social media. He has scrubbed all of the pictures of the Cardinals on his Instagram account. Anything Cardinals related, he has moved on from it. He deleted Cardinal related photos from his account. We don't know what his motivation is. Von Miller did something like this. Remember, he covered up John Elway on one of the pictures. He edited him out. According to Pro Football Talk on NBC Sports, he talked to a team beat reporter last week before the Pro Bowl about the need for the team individually and collectively to, quote, just get better. He made his second Pro Bowl. He was in the Pro Bowl. He's eligible for a contract extension this offseason. The Cardinals have until May to decide whether they exercise the fifth-year option on his contract or not. But I mean, again, Murray is an interesting case here because he has baseball on his side, but does anybody have baseball on their side right now? The Athletics gave him a $4.6 million deal after making him the ninth overall choice in the Major League Baseball draft. So obviously, but after winning the Heisman, he went to football instead. What does this mean? JD and I were during the break, we're just talking about available quarterbacks. Is it Jimmy G? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Who is it? Is Kyler Murray now in the mix? Does he want out of Arizona suddenly? I'm sure we'll find out much more on this. Going to be a fun night tonight of UNC basketball. The women's game gets going at 5:30, followed by the men's at 7:30 right here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. That'll do it for us. Betting Across America, the Good Afternoon Guy, and UNC basketball on KFKA.